This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
This year, the Slot tradition of giving an award to distinguished scholars, intellectuals, artists, creators was shared by Simon Critchley and Asra Taylor, and we are going first to give them the award, but I want first to explain what will take place. Asra has done a film that many of you have seen, Examine Life, and in that film there were a few more interviews, but one with Simon that we will screen soon after. But first of all, we want to give you the award.
At Slot Foundation, we've always been ambivalent about the award economy. It's always been something that we, in a certain sense, found distasteful. And so 2 years ago, we tried to kind of insert ourselves into that logic and create a different type of award. You can't step outside of that economy, we realized. You have to, in a way, just redefine it. And so we had given the award to Catherine Liu, and Lawrence Rickles and Avital Ronell and others had been part of that evening. And then we felt that 2 years had passed and we hadn't given it to anybody, and we needed to rejuvenate this project. It couldn't just be a one-time thing. And so we thought of who had kind of created a discursive space outside of the academic space, but also people that we had worked with that embodied that and that we had grown to kind of appreciate not just from afar but through a collaborative atmosphere. And Astra and Simon kind of immediately came to mind. And we also then realized, as Jean-Michel just said, that they actually have already worked together. And this film, of course, is one of their many collaborations. Simon and Astra have, through so many wonderful things, in Astra's case, these amazing films with philosophers in public space and in cinematic space. And in Simon's case, these amazing Necronautical Society projects and books, and also the event we did here with Alain Badiou. All of these projects also have kind of created, I think, an amazing public fascination for philosophy. So thank you both.
A speech. Okay. Wonderful. A real speech. Yeah. And I may explain that this is
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Jean-Michel. I want to begin with a quotation from Aristotle, the philosopher. Criticism is something we can avoid by saying nothing, doing nothing, being nothing. The nation is at a crossroads. Will we take the path forward to a strong and prosperous future, or will we repeat failed policies of the past? Today, millions of Americans are standing up and voicing their concerns where our country is heading. Yet some belittle those who show up at town hall meetings or dare to run for office without an establishment-approved resume. Like every other ordinary American, I'm tired of the divisions and the special interests that pit us against one another. It doesn't matter if you grew up in Skagway or San Francisco. You're an American. Whether you're Bill Gates or Bill the Cable Guy, you're an American. Whatever your gender, race, or religion, if you love this country and will defend our Constitution, then you're an American. All that most of us want and ask for is a good job in our own hometown, and that government might be on our side and not in the way. But too many of us have felt ignored and have become disillusioned. Many Americans don't even vote because they've come to expect government to be indifferent or corrupt. I want to challenge those Americans to stand up with me. The enlightened elites want to tell you to sit down and shut up. But the way forward is to stand and fight. March on Capitol Hill. Write letters to the editor. Run for local office. You never know where it may lead. And make your voice heard on every single occasion, day, and on every single occasion, every single issue. That is your birthright. Stand now, stand together, stand for what is right. I love meat. I eat pork chops, thick bacon burgers, and the seared, fatty edges of a medium well-done steak. But I especially love moose and caribou. I always remind people from outside our state that there's plenty of room for all Alaska's animals, right next to the mashed potatoes. People outside Alaska are often clueless about our reliance on natural food sources. You know you're an Alaskan when twice a year your kitchen doubles as a meat processing plant. I love Philadelphia. Its energy, its history. It was also the city where a supporter gave me a very cool t-shirt that said Saracuda, which I wore to a rambunctious meet and greet the campaign organized in a Philly bar. But a few people in the city of brotherly love weren't the most loving on that trip. During a motorcade ride, my children looked out the windows of the Suburban and saw people wearing t-shirts that said lovely things like Sarah is a cunt. Willow was astonished. Mum, did you see that? Don't worry about it, is all I could muster. I know there is a God. My life is in his hands. I encourage readers to do what I did many years ago, to invite him to take over, then see what he will do and how he will get you through. Test him on this. You'll see there's no such thing as a coincidence. I'm thankful that his majestic creation called Alaska, which has given me my home, and for his touch on America, which has given us so many opportunities. By his grace, an American life is an extraordinary life. And mine has been an extraordinary life. I am extraordinary and extraordinarily creative. And thank you for this award for creative thought.
I think Simon and I are both having sort of delusions of grandeur, because his mind went to Palin and mine immediately went to Obama, who got the Nobel Peace Prize, because I was thinking about the award for creative thought and how that's not something I feel I deserve, but it's something sort of aspirational and something I hope to embody. And I just thought, that didn't go so well for him. So, but I do think, I feel this tremendous solidarity with Aaron and with Jean-Michel and the Slot Foundation, because more than creative thought, it's about creating space for thought, and that's really what I'm interested in. I've always been frustrated and dissatisfied and disenchanted with the spaces that were available to me. And so my films have been one little way to try to inject the public sphere with an intellectual conversation. But I think this place is such a fantastic example of that project. So it's just a tremendous honor to be here for a second time. So just thank you very much.
Now we're going to see the 5 minutes section of the film on Simon Critchley.
Socrates said the unexamined life is not worth living.
I want to examine death.
You want to examine death?
Yeah. Death is terrifying. It's a terror of our demise, of being, lowered in a box into the earth to become worm food or ant food or beetle food. I mean, do you want to become worm food, Astra?
I can't wait.
It seems to me that some people take solace in the idea of an afterlife. Maybe we never really die.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredibly powerful. I mean, the belief that you're going to pass from this stage of existence to some other stage of existence, the soul is immortal, or there's a cycle of rebirth, or whatever it might be. It's a powerful temptation, but I think it's one that has to be refused. There's a strong tendency, for example, people that are interested in the Tibetan Book of the Dead or the Egyptian Book of the Dead will... what you have in those books is a fascinating analysis of rituals connected with the preparation for death and the passage from this existence to another. But the premise of that approach is that death is an illusion, right? Death is not real. Whereas my view is that death is real. It's going to happen. It's coming for you. You can deny it, but you can't escape it. Therefore, how do you face up to that? What is philosophy? Philosophy is the art of dying, right? To philosophize is to learn how to die, and to learn how to die is to learn how to live. So what philosophy has to teach is how to die, really.
So the examined life is learning how to die.
The examined life is learning how to die, precisely. To philosophize is to learn how to die, and to learn how to die is to unlearn how to be a slave. Freedom consists in being able to accept the reality of one's death. To be a slave is to deny one's death. The freedom that philosophy gives is a very, very peculiar one. It's not, as it were, freedom isn't some absence of constraint. It isn't sort of, being free as a bird or whatever that means. Freedom means accepting the constraint of one's mortality. What I've said so far is a little sort of serious and pious. The idea of, the pious Socrates, going to his death, drinking the hemlock nobly, or Epicurus, out of his mind with pain from kidney stones, but dying serenely. There's also something which I want to emphasize, which is the comical aspect to death. Death is something... And the deaths of philosophers in particular is a source of mirth. It's not just a source of sort of heroism. Heraclitus dies wrapped in cow dung. Pythagoras has himself slaughtered because he refuses to cross a field of beans. Zeno of Citium bites off a tyrant's ear until he's slaughtered. Boethius is bludgeoned to death by the Ostrogoth king Theodoric.
You find these funny?
I think they're immensely funny. Xenocrates falls over a bronze utensil in the night. There's some great ones. The philosophical attitude is to have the courage to face up to one's mortality and to be able to laugh in the face of that. I mean, the fact is, what it means to be human is to be a dying animal, and what it means to be a free human being is to accept the fact that one is a dying animal. And I'm not saying this is easy, any of this is easy, but to philosophize is to learn to love that difficulty.
It's a difficult thing to love.
Yeah, it's a very difficult thing to love. Very, very hard. Yes, I'd love to. After you, Astra.